Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions, Text 43 to 45. So there are three verses today. The first one is a statement about the nature of devotees, and some devotee names are given as examples. Then the other two verses are just a continuation of a list of names. So we'll chant the first verse together, and then I'll read the other verses and the translation. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm going to go from the verse to the translation. No synonyms. Vedana manga paramasya hi yoga maya. Yuyam bhavascha bhagavana tadaitya varyaha. Patni manosa chapa manushta taratma jascha. Prachina bahir ribu anga uta dhruvascha. Vedaha manga paramasya hi yoga maya. Yuyam bhavascha bhagavana tadaitya varyaha. Patni manasa cha manuscha taratma jascha. Prachina bahir ribu anga uta dhruvascha. Vedaha manga paramasya hi yoga maya. Yuyam bhavascha bhagavana tadaitya varyaha. Patni manosa champa manuscha ta atma jascha. Prachina bahir ribu anga uta dhruvascha. Vedamamasya hi yoga mayam. Yuyam bhavascha bhagavana tadaitya varya. Yanasya atma jascha. Prachina bahir ribu anga uta dhruvascha. Vedaha manga paramasya hi yoga maya. Yuyam bhavascha bhagavana tadaitya varya. Prachina Prachina Bahiribu Angauta Javascha. Vedamanga Paramasya Yogamaya. Prachina Bahya River Angavita Juvascha. Vaishnavis. Yuyam Bhavascha Bhagavana Tadaitya Varya. Vaishnavis. Vidaha manga paramasya yoga mayam. Yamarasya Patni mano sacha manu shataratma jascha. Prachina bahya ribhuranga uta juvascha. Okay, I'll read the other two verses. Ikshvakur aila muchakunda videha gadi ragvambarisha sagara gaya nahushadya Mandatra alakasata dandanu anti deva deva vratovalim amur tarayo dilipaha salvarya utankashibi deva la palada sarasvato deva parashara purishenaha Yen ye vibhishana hanumad upendra data partashti sena vidura shruta deva varyaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So this is Brahma speaking. Translation. O Narada, although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how He acts through Yogamaya potencies. And similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known to the all-powerful Shiva, the great king of the atheist family, namely Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhuva Manu, his wife Shatarupa, his sons and daughters like Priyavrata, Uttanapad, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prasuti, Prajini Barhi, Ribhu, Unga, the father of Vena, Maharaj Dhruva, Ikshvaku, Ayla, Muchakunda, Maharaj Janaka, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarisha, Sagara, Gaya, Nahusha, Mandata, Alarka, Shatadande, Anu, Ranti Dev, Bhishma, Bali, Amur Taraya, Dilipa, Salbari, Utanka, Shibi, Devala, Pipalada, Sarasvata, Uddhava, Parashara, Bhurishena, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Shukadev Goswami, Arjuna, Arshtisena, Vidura, Shrutadeva, etc. Purport. All the great devotees of the Lord, as mentioned above, who flourished in the past or present, and all of the devotees of the Lord who will come in the future, are aware of the different potencies of the Lord, along with the potency of his name, quality, pastimes, entourage, personality, etc. And how do they know? Certainly it is not by mental speculation, nor by any attempt, by dint of limited instruments of knowledge. By the limited instruments of knowledge, either the senses or material instruments like microscopes and telescopes, one cannot even fully know the Lord's material potencies, which are manifested before our eyes. For example, there are millions and billions of planets, far, far beyond the scientist's calculation. But these are only the manifestations of the Lord's material energy. What can the scientists hope to know of the spiritual potency of the Lord by such material efforts? Mental speculations by adding some dozens of ifs and maybes cannot aid the advancement of knowledge. On the contrary, such mental speculations will only end in despair by dismissing the case abruptly and declaring the non-existence of God. The sane person, therefore, ceases to speculate on subjects beyond the jurisdiction of his tiny brain. And as a matter of course, he tries to learn to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who alone can lead one to the platform of real knowledge. In the Upanishads, it is clearly said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be known simply by working very hard and taxing the good brain, nor can he be known simply by mental speculation and jugglery of words. The Lord is knowable only by one who is a surrendered soul. Herein, Brahmaji, the greatest of all material living beings, acknowledges this truth. Therefore, the fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing the path of experimental knowledge must be given up. One should gain knowledge by surrendering unto the Lord and by acknowledging the authority of the persons mentioned herein. The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of the yoga maya, helps the surrendered soul to know him proportionately with the advance of one's surrender. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions all the great devotees of the Lord. He mentions the ones who are listed here, other great devotees, past or present. And he says, all the devotees of the Lord who will come in the future. So, us older devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, should understand that in the future also, great devotees will come, and they may even surpass the accomplishments of the first generation of devotees. And we see that in Lord Chaitanya's movement, that yes, there were many great devotees at the time of Lord Chaitanya, but many great devotees came afterwards in succeeding generations, including Srila Prabhupada. So, another interesting point in the purport was Srila Prabhupada mentioning the limitations of the experimental system of knowledge, even in terms of knowledge of the visible universe. Now he's mentioning there are millions and billions of planets far, far beyond the scientist's calculation. So it's kind of interesting. In recent years, scientists have begun to understand this to some extent, to some limited extent. You know, a few years ago, they set up a space telescope called the Kepler Space Satellite Telescope. And they were using this telescope to try to find planets like the Earth that could support life that you know, they think were circling around other stars and other solar systems. And you know, with this telescope, they looked at a small patch of the sky, and they determined, yes, there are stars with planets, and some of them are like the Earth. And they they found a few thousand in that small space. And they calculated, well, if we expand that all over the universe, there are billions of planets like the Earth. So sometimes, you know, by their methods, they fulfill what Srila Prabhupada said here. Another interesting point in the purport is Srila Prabhupada stating that by the degree of one's advancement in devotional service, one can come to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that to the degree that one surrenders unto me, yayata mam prapadyante tam sthitaiva bhajamyaham, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly with some level of knowledge of me and the spiritual world. So if we want to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can't do it simply by study, you know, ordinary study, as someone in a university would study some book. It's not like that. There has to be realized knowledge of it And that comes only by devotional service, bhakti. So, bhakti amam abhijananti yavan yaschasmi tatvaha tomam tatvato gyatva vishite tadanantaram. Only by devotional service can I be known, Krishna says. And when one knows me fully by that devotional service, then one is qualified to enter into my supreme abode. And then I was going through this list of devotees who Lord Brahma says know something about Krishna's potencies and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And I came across the name Ila. That's another name for Pururava. And it just so happened that in my daily readings of Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm now in the ninth canto, was reading about this King Pururava, Ila. So he was called Ila because his mother was Ila. You know, he had an interesting heritage. Brahma, of course, is the first living entity. We're all descended from Brahma. If you trace your ancestry, your ancestors back in time, as many people like to do these days, genealogy, you know, it's become very popular. Learn about your past. So if we trace our ancestors, our father and mother, back to grandfather, grandmother, trace it all the way back, you'll come to some Prajapati, and then you'll come to Brahma. So this King Ila, you know, he was kind of close to the beginning. Brahma had these mental sons, sages. One of them was Atri. And Atri had a son, Soma, moon god. And the moon god got in trouble. You know, his name was Soma. And he stole the wife of Brihaspati, the guru, spiritual master of the demigods. And Brihaspati said, give her back. Soma refused. He kept her. So there was a big battle between, you know, the supporters of Brihaspati, mostly the demigods, and then Soma and some other demigods who had some reason, plus some demons who wanted to fight Brihaspati also. So they were fighting. They were having a big battle. And the demigods asked Brahma to intervene. So Lord Brahma came down and he told Soma, give her back. And so that was done. And then Brihaspati noticed she was pregnant. So she was afraid, now what's going to happen to me? And Brihaspati said, okay, you've been unchaste, you've had a child by someone else, but I'm not going to punish you. You just, because I know you wanted a son, you know, so, you know. So they began to question her. Okay, who is the father of this child? And in public, she was kind of shy, didn't want to say it. So Brahma kind of took her aside and privately inquired from her, and she revealed, yes, that the child is the son of Soma. So Brahma gave the child a name because he was a very bright child, bright, glowing, very intelligent. So he called him Buddha, not the Buddha, Buddha, which is with two D's. This is B-U-D-H-A, Buddha, one D. And that's also the name of the planet Mercury. So modern astronomers have noticed that Mercury is very much like the moon. In other words, Buddha is like Soma in terms of size, the appearance of it. You know, they're very similar. So sometimes it's said like father, like son. So so Buddha took Ila as his wife, and Ila, or Pururaba, was his son. So he was very handsome, very intelligent, very qualified. And Narada Muni was once in Indraloka. He was in the heavenly planets with Lord Indra. And he was talking about, he was describing the characteristics of this Pururaba. And there was an apsara there, Urvashi. And now she'd been cursed by Mitra and Varuna that, you know, she would, although she was on the demigoddess level, that she would become attracted to some earthly human male, kind of on a lower level, according to their way of looking at things. So she went to Earth and hunted him down and approached him. And he was attracted to her, and, you know, he wanted to marry her. He wanted her to be his wife. And she agreed to do that on three conditions. She said, I've got these two lambs that came with me, you know, from the higher planets, and you have to protect them. If you don't protect them, I'm out of here. And he said, also, I'm only going to eat food that's cooked in ghee. You know, so, all right, he said, fine. And I never want to see you naked except when we're together, you know, for engaging in sexual affairs. So I said, otherwise, I never want to see you without your clothes on. So, meanwhile, back in the heavenly planets, Indra was kind of missing Urvashi. So since she's left, things aren't very nice here. So he talked to some Gandharvas and told them to go get her. So the Gandharvas went at night to King Pururaba's house. And they stole the two lambs. And Urvashi noticed they were missing. And she said, she started dissing Pururaba. Look, just look. I thought you were a man. You just let them come in and take my two lambs. So that wasn't very good for their relationship. So Pururaba was very angry. You know, so he said, "I'll get them, don't worry." So he kind of jumped up out of his bed, didn't dress, just went out naked with his sword, got the two lambs from the Gandharvas, and was walking back into his palace. And the Gandharvas, being demigods, they had effulgent bodies. But they could also dial it down, too. Like in the dark, when they came in, they kind of turned the effulgence off. But now that he was going back naked with the two lambs, they turned on the effulgence of their bodies and illuminated him, and Urvashi could see him. And she just said, "Okay, that's it." So she left. And he was devastated. You know, he was like really attached to her. So he started wandering around like a madman, going here and there. And one day at Kurukshetra, he noticed her. So he went up to talk to her. "You know, please, you know, just talk to me. We don't have to go be together, just talk to me." You know? And she said to him, and she gave him some good advice. She said, "Look, I'm going to tell you something about us ladies." So this was coming from her, you know, but she said, "Yeah, you shouldn't be so eager to make friends with women, because our hearts are like foxes. We're willing to take, we're searching for a new friend all the time. Just control your mind, control your senses." But, you know, he said, "No," he was still very attached. So he said, "Okay," she said, I'll come once a year at the end of every year for one day, and we can be together for one day." So after the end of the year, she came and visited him for a day, and you know, so they met. But you know, then she was about to leave, and she told them, "Okay, I'll. If you talk to the Gandharvas, because I'm staying with the Gandharvas now, if you talk to them, maybe they'll bring me a little more often." So he thought about that. But meanwhile, Satya Yuga was turning into Treta Yuga. And in Treta Yuga, yajna, or sacrifice, was introduced into human society. So Puttarava began to perform yajna, and he pleased the Lord by his performance of sacrifices, and he got a benediction that he could go to the planet of Urvashi, where Urvashi was. And he went there, and they got together again. They had 6 children. And in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's where the story ends. And I was thinking, so that's what you do to get on this list of great devotees? I mean, what is that all about? Yeah, I was thinking, you know, it was like, but then, you know, we read a little further in the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, and there's a chapter called the Ila Gita, which is recited by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. So Krishna explains, after all that time, and with Urvashi again in her heavenly planet, he just understood one day, I've just been in total illusion. You know, I really didn't understand the truth. Even she tried to tell me the truth. You know, I really couldn't understand it. And, you know, the only person that could save me was Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he began to speak about this, you know, his realizations, and, you know, that he'd been so foolish to be attached to another material body and try to enjoy it with his material body. And, you know, he began to praise the association of devotees, saying, yes, one has to associate with saintly people who are realized and avoid bad association. And, you know, he returned to Earth, you know, from the heavenly planets, and he began to just wander around satisfied in his self. And to the extent that Krishna recognized him and spoke this Ila Gita, this song of King Ila to Uddhava in the 11th canto. So those are some thoughts on this verse. Looks like it's time to go. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much.